What's up, gang? I want to ask you a question today. What do Snoop Dogg, John F. Kennedy, and O.J. Simpson's lawyer, Johnny Cochran, all have in common? Well, they're all mentioned in today's podcast because my guest, James Ian Bond, is going to show us how all of these people, along with so many more influential household name companies and celebrities, have created their success using what he calls brain glue. And that is the title of his book, Brain Glue: How Selling Becomes Much Easier by Making Your Ideas Sticky. And he basically breaks down how all of these people, all of these successful people, have been able to create enormous amounts of traction, awareness, and success simply by using a few language techniques, which he's going to break down in the show today. Now, this isn't psychology of neuro-linguistic programming, Wolf of Wall Street selling. This is how to name and brand your products, how to create ideas that start a movement simply by changing the language behind them. It's really, really interesting stuff. I went and downloaded the book immediately after this podcast, and I think you to absolutely love it. This is the author of Brain Glue, Mr. James Ian Bond. I really hope you enjoy this one. Let's do it on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to the Coaches to the Moon podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We're heading transatlantic once again today over to Southern California, where my guest, James Ian Bond, has been patiently waiting for me to start this show whilst I finished off a call. Very embarrassing stuff, but really excited to have him here. James is the author of a fantastically acclaimed book, described as mind-blowing by Jack Canfield, Brain Glue: How Selling Becomes Much Easier by Making Your Ideas Sticky. And us here in the coaching and marketing space, we'd always love to know new ways of selling. So once again, straight out of Southern California, James, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, Alex. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well. We've already spoken how disappointed I am that you shaved off your huge, lovely beard. As a bearded man to another, why'd you make the choice? Was it just too hot there in California?
I thought I'd be a little different. Actually, somebody said if you shave your beard, you know, people think you're like a professor and, you know, all that stuff. And you're just, you know, you just don't have a lot of confidence. So I said, the hell with that. And I shaved my beard.
You do look a bit like a professor in that photo, I've got to say. There we go. Or I would say a painter. But that's great. No, fantastic. I've heard that if you shave off your beard, you know, when you've got young kids, it's going to cause some controversy in the household. So I think I'm...
Well, we do the thing because I ran one of America's leading behavioral management firms for 13 years. And we do things like we say, so if you're a righty, spend a day just, you know, eating and trying to write with your left hand. And it freaks you out, but it actually helps open up the creativity of the mind. So it's interesting.
I'll bet it does. That's really interesting. Behavioral management. What does that entail specifically?
We're creatures of habit. We don't realize it, but we're creatures of habit. It's how we live our life. We wake up in the morning the same way many times. We do things differently the same way. And so I work with some of the world. With Warren Buffett on his way to becoming the world's richest man, he started buying companies instead of just investing in them. And they brought me in because I'm one of America's leading behavioral management specialists to change the behaviors of people. So there are two ways to do it. It's what they do. You know, we have a comfort zone. We live within our comfort zone. And so one of the things that what we became really famous for was that we can get people tackling things outside their comfort zone. And, you know, we say, wow, I want to grow my business. They come up with goals and everything else. And often it's like way beyond what they can do because their brain is telling them you can't do it. You can't do it. It's almost like, you know, you have a chair. I have a chair. You know, there are a lot of things we can think of, but do you think you can jump over the chair? Probably not. It's, you know, but with brain, with behavioral management, we can actually change certain things that people do so they actually can do that. I mean, one of the companies I work with him was he bought a bank, and the senior managers at the bank hated selling. And he wanted to turn them into top salespeople who love selling, which I did. I actually did it really fast, and he was floored by it. But yeah, so behavioral management is, you know, where you can actually take somebody and what they do and get them to change the behavior so they're able to tackle stuff beyond their comfort zone.
I like that because in this, there's always often a big crossover between the entrepreneur space and the sort of personal development space. And so you do see an awful lot of internet gurus harping on about getting out of your comfort zone, waking up at sort of 4:30 in the morning, cold water baths, that sort of thing, pushing yourself. I definitely see I do definitely see the benefits of doing that in a business sense, in that business can get very tricky. You've got to have difficult conversations, make scary investments, that sort of thing. And for me, the biggest thing I ever got out of the personal development I did was probably exactly what you're talking about. Changed my behavior to a point where I was just a bit more used to doing things I didn't want to do. Whereas when I had a job, although my job was difficult because I was a chef in fine dining restaurants and on your feet for 16 hours a day, I was still kind of in my comfort zone, still kind of used to it. Physically right. demanding, but not mentally challenging to do that sort of thing. And so when you do that and someone says, why don't we have a cold shower this morning? It's like, why on earth would I do that? That sounds awful. I just want to comfort myself. But now I tell myself, if you can't turn on this cold shower first thing in the morning, Alex, what happens if your daughter falls in the ocean? Or what happens if like you need to suddenly save the business? And that's the way my mind has gradually gone throughout these years. Has my behavior been managed successfully? Do you think, James?
It seems like it. I mean, I'm not a cold shower person. Let's start there, okay?
Okay.
You can enjoy your cold showers. Although I will jump in the ocean if one of my kids, especially I live in Southern California. But you're hitting the nail on the head with something. And a lot of people, particularly coaches, they started as employees. And to go from an employee to entrepreneur, it's a radically different thing. I mean, you got to invest your own money. You got to give yourself, you know, when you go to work, they tell you what time to show up, when you can have lunch. You got to, if you want to leave early, you got to ask permission and everything else. And my wife said to me once, I said, I miss you, because she's worked for big companies. And I said, I wish I worked for big companies. And her comment was, shut up. You get to choose what time you wake up if you want to. I mean, I wake up the same time every day, but I mean, we have so much freedom, and people think freedom is awesome. But actually, if you've lived and worked for corporations or a regular business and everything else, and suddenly you go into business for yourself, it's not. Freedom is tough because you have to decide. You have to define. Your boss tells you, I need you to do this, this, and this. Okay. And you got a business, a definition of what your job is. That's really nice. But when you're going to business for yourself, you got to create that yourself. And so, yeah, it's a whole different thing. And that's part of why behavioral management is so valuable for so many people.
Yeah, yeah. I do understand where you're coming from when you said to your wife, I kind of wished I worked for a company sometimes. Like, a bunch of my friends and I, we're all dads now. A lot of us run businesses or have busy jobs, and we all went camping a few weeks ago for the weekend, and we were all so excited for it. And as I picked up my friend on a Friday afternoon to go camping, we were both still on the phone for work. We had such a busy morning. And then we finally escaped and we got ourselves driving down this country road, and we saw a man driving a tractor, plowing a field. And we thought, wouldn't that be so simple just to drive a tractor? But then we got into the ramifications of both sides of it, and we realized we're both pretty happy where we are. But it is interesting, the consequences of, our daughter was sick yesterday, for example. So one of us had to stay home from work. My wife, being an employee, if she stays home from work, she has to ask permission to do that. But the consequences are lower. If I stay off from business, I can make that decision whenever I want. But the consequences are higher if I spend, 12 hours away from my business on a work day. So it's very interesting, mate. But we didn't come here to talk about me. We came here to talk about you and your book, Brain Glue, and your system that you've created. Well, did you create a system, or have you just noticed patterns in behaviors of successful people to go through this, to create this book?
Both.
Both.
So the brain has patterns that it likes. There's something called redintegration. It's funny because I work with psychologists, some of the world's top psychologists and everything else. And I say, so do you guys know what redintegration is? And they go, reintegration? No. Redintegration is the brain's need for completion. And as I remember, I was sitting in a group with about like 50 or 60 psychologists. And one of them says, that doesn't exist. And she starts looking it up and she goes, oh, look at that. You know, those are moments I love, you know. Oh, it isn't true, right? But redintegration is the brain's need for completion. It's like patterns. There are certain patterns that are wired into us. In America, we have a phrase that we remember as kids. Maybe you remember it there. Maybe you know it. Jack and Jill went up the
hill.
That's right.
Okay. Fetch a pail of water.
So how many years ago was it that you heard that, if you ever heard that before? You know, for most of us, yeah, it would be 10, 20, maybe 50 years ago or more. I mean, I'm old, guys. I remember it a long time ago. And yet it sticks to our brain like glue. So what happens is, on my deathbed, if you said, okay, James, Jack and Joe went up the, I go, Phil, the fetch a pail of water, blah, blah, blah. And I'd say it again because I remember it as a child, but it sticks in the brain. In America, we had O.J. Simpson, who was on trial for murdering his wife and her visitor, who might have been her boyfriend. And so the attorney, Johnny Cochran, said, if the glove doesn't fit, you have to quit.
You must acquit.
Exactly. And what happened, and so I remember after the trial, two of the jurors were being interviewed, and one of them answered the question, well, the other one was nodding her head in agreement. And the journalist said, with all that evidence against OJ, why'd you let him go free? And she looks confidently and she says, well, we knew if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. The glove didn't fit. We had to acquit. That sticks to the brain. And it's so powerful. It actually got somebody freed from an almost certain guilty verdict in a murder trial. That's how powerful this is. There is in America, we have Wonder Bread. And Wonder Bread, they invented sliced bread. That's why people often say, well, that's the smartest thing since sliced bread. Right? They don't realize they're actually referring to Wonder Bread. But Wonder Bread bleaches their bread. So they're, and for 10 years, they dominated the bread market in America. And then competitors came up with a phrase that threw them almost overnight, almost into bankruptcy. What was the phrase? The whiter your bread, the quicker you're dead.
Wow.
Okay. And they said that to a journalist. There was, you know, we had COVID. Okay. So thank God we were all past that. But we had COVID. Okay. In the early days, they actually had this thing called pellagra. And pellagra was the absolute, you get it if your body doesn't have enough vitamin B3, which they put niacin, which has lots of B3 in foods and stuff, okay? So because Wonder Bread bleached their bread, they killed all the nutrients that were inside the bread. And so the competitors came up with this phrase, they repeated it to two competitors, and they repeated it to journalists. And suddenly the journalists started repeating it over and over again. And all the magazines and newspapers of the day repeated the headline, the whiter your bread, the quicker you're dead. You know, Wonder Bread, it's a wonderful bread. However, it doesn't have vitamin B3. And so because of that, you're just a victim of pellagra. Eventually, Wonder Bread, to save themselves, because they were literally going bankrupt, but to save themselves, they fortified bread. And that's fortified bread, which is the beginning of why food is fortified. You know, where they put niacin, which had B3, vitamin B3, and then all these other vitamins and nutrients inside it. But yeah, it's so powerful. There's so many products. So how would you like to invent a product and your competitor steals the idea from you and makes so much money that you have to stop selling the product because you can't make a nickel from it? Okay. How about Pop-Tarts? Kellogg stole the idea from Nabisco, their competitor, okay? They're Post Cereals. So Post Cereals, you know, they were frustrated because, you know, they're competing with Kellogg's, and Kellogg's was a bigger company. And so the president came up with this idea of, you know, you put in a toaster, it's got jelly inside it, and it cooks it up so you get a little nice cake, okay? And he promoted it even before they launched it, about 2 months before they launched it. He was bragging, we have this new product coming out. You're going to put it in a toaster and it comes up and everything else. So the head of Kellogg said, what a great idea. And so he hired somebody. They figured out really fast within 2 months how to make the product. And then he wanted to come up with a name. And so he said, back then, Andy Warhol was famous. And Andy Warhol was a pop artist.
Yeah.
So pop art, let's call it pop art. And it pops out of the toaster. We won't call it pop artist. We'll call it Pop Tart. You know, and it pops out of the poster. And the rest, as they say, is history. Pop-Tarts exploded in sales. And then so much so that they ran out of product. They ran out of inventory. So the head of Kellogg's ran ads, a full page ads in major newspapers saying, we apologize, we ran out of Pop-Tarts because so many people love it, but hold on, within a week, you'll get it again. So Post's version was called Country Squares. Nobody bought Country Squares. Everybody waited for Pop-Tarts to become available again. And what happens is Pop-Tarts was so successful that nobody bought Country Squares that Post invented, and they ended up dumping it and not even selling it anymore. I mean, can you imagine if your competitor or somebody you don't like or steals your idea and suddenly they make a ton of money and you're starving to death?
Yeah, I mean, that's rough.
Why it's so important to learn Brain Glue, because Brain Glue actually helps us understand, you know, how do you create a name for a product or a description for a product that is so valuable that it resonates with the brain? And that's what Brain Glue is about. It's like we understand the tools, that how the brain works. And so when we understand the tools, we can actually apply them to the tools.
Lots incredible. Of incredible. Wow. Yeah. A lot to address there.
Sales explode. Early on, I mean, I learned this because in America we had, I had an advertising agency in Montreal, and I'm a logical guy. So I'm a logical thinker. I can create logical ads all day. Okay. The problem was I had an opportunity to win the anti-drug campaign in America with a powerful, logical reasons why you should not do drugs. And then we lost. And they liked our ad, but we lost, and we deserved to lose. We lost to an advertiser that did this ad that had a guy holding an egg and said, this is your brain. And he cracked the shell and dropped the egg into a sizzling frying pan. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions? That's not logical, but it's emotional. It's emotional selling. And when I saw it, I went like, whoa, that is powerful. It's turned out to be one of the most powerful ads in America we've ever had. But it scared me because it made me realize I'm in advertising, and that's more powerful than anything I know how to do. And so what I did was I wrote your brain on drugs on a 3x5 card, and I took a box and I put it next to my computer, and I called it the passion box. And I said, what I'm going to do is, instead of trying to overanalyze every time I see something that's emotionally powerful, and it could be a phrase that somebody says, you know, but every time I see, like Martin Luther King Jr. has certain phrases that use tools that Brain Glue talks about and other famous people. But instead of trying to overanalyze it, because school doesn't teach you emotional selling, why don't I put it in the passion box in the hopes that eventually there'll be enough examples there that maybe I could figure out how it works. Well, more than 10 years later, and my passion box was packed, by the way. My wife hated going to doctor's offices with me because they'd have magazines I never saw, like Vogue. I'm a guy, you know? And I'd start looking through the magazine. I go, oh, wow. And she goes, do not tear it out of the magazine. I'd go like, no. I got to put this in the passion box. Look at this ad. And she would sit far away like, I do not know that guy. But after 10 years, we moved to Southern California, and I met John Gray. And John Gray is an author who wrote a book, Men, Women, and Relationships, one of the best relationship books ever. But he only sold a few thousand copies. And he was telling me how he was frustrated because he knew this book was profound, and yet it only sold a few thousand copies. So he got the crazy idea, what if I change the title to Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and then slightly tweak the content so it would refer to it throughout the book, but it's the same basic book. What do you think happened? Almost overnight, 500,000 copies got sold, then 1 million, then 2 million, then 5 million. I have a friend, Steve Harrison, who helped him with marketing. And so I say in my book, he sold 10 million copies of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And Steve says, no. And I'm like terrified. Like, did he sell less than that? He says, no. We're over 50 million copies sold already. He went from a few thousand to 50 million copies, all because he changed the name. Wow. And then when I got home, I realized first I wrote Men Are From Mars on a 3x5 card. And I realized it's a metaphor. Men aren't really from Mars. All you ladies out there, we are not from a different planet, okay? We might seem like it sometimes. But what happened was I realized metaphors must be, if it's not the secret to emotional selling, it's one of the secrets. So I dumped the passion box on my bed, and I discovered there are 14 brain triggers at the heart of emotional selling. And I thought my brain was going to explode, but I realized this is so powerful. These brain triggers, when you introduce a brain trigger to what you say or what you post online or run in an ad or however you do it, It radically increases your ability to get a yes if you're selling an idea or to get someone to buy your product or service. And it's amazing. Once I started recognizing it, I started applying it to my clients that I had. And I do work for the small U.S. Small Business Administration, where I'm a workshop chairman. So I'll do it to hundreds of maybe thousands of people every year. And I'll talk to people in marketers, coaches, and entrepreneurs, and explain this to them. And then people will come back. I'll show them how to do it. They'll come back to me and they'll say, "Oh, wow, look, I did this. My sales were struggling. And suddenly I got so much sales, I couldn't believe it." In fact, the first company I worked with where I applied this was a construction company. After 10 years, and I didn't have any experience in construction, but after 10 years, they had 2 million of sales. That's not bad, 2 million of sales. In 1 year, I took them to 10 million of sales. And 2 years later, we reached 32 million of sales. And by the way, I took them from in 1 year from 2 to 10 million in sales, and they razzed me. "Hey, Bond, it was supposed to be 12 million. And my comment was, "Shut up." You know, they made so much money, they bought each other a gift of a brand new BMW, the largest BMW. I mean, they couldn't believe how much cash was flowing in easier than the 10 years that they had worked to try to get to 2 million. In 1 year, I took them to 10 million. It's fun.
It does sound fun. You're fun to talk to, James. Far out. Uh-oh. A lot of energy. Yes. So lots of very, very good stories there. And lots of that. None of them fit into the same sort of category, because I was looking through your landing page for this book, and that construction story is on there. That Johnny Cochran story is on there, the lawyer. And then there's business success. There's things like how Snoop Dogg boosted his fame, how President Kennedy, George Carlin, the comedian, like a lot of these people don't seem to fall into the same boat. And we're not about getting famous here on Coaches to the Moon. Fame is just it's an asset like money, I suppose, that helps to open up opportunities. But it's a really interesting thing because...
But they do fall into the same category. When you understand that's the thing that's blowing people's minds. When you understand the pattern, you go like, "Oh, I'll give you two examples." President John F. Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." That's chiasmus. It's a flip, okay? He said, "Mankind must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind." In America, Malcolm X, who was a civil rights activist in the early days of the civil rights movement, he said, "We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rock landed on us." You know, talking about Plymouth Rock, where America was founded. He said, "When you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything." So comedians say, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Okay. Yeah. I'm an old guy, so I remember this. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd rather wake up and pee than pee and wake up. Okay. I mean, but when you realize the pattern, so in America, so in Southern California, they have a company, a family business that's competing with McDonald's. Okay. So they came up with, they used a tool. They didn't get it from my book, but they figured this out. Okay. And they said, "Well, we need a name that's catchy that explains what we do. And we'll be like a drive-through, so you could drive through burgers." Now, it had to be good. You have to have good product, quality product. But a lot of people have really great products and they still struggle. Okay. I mean, welcome to the club. Okay. You don't have to struggle anymore once you learn brain glue. So these guys said, it's a family. And they said, "We make really great burgers. We're going to do it as a drive-through, so we won't really have a big restaurant, an internal restaurant, because we can't afford it, basically. But we need to come up with a name that's really going to be, catch attention." So they came up with the name In-N-Out Burger. Well, here, probably in Australia, it's the same. In-N-Out refers to sex. Okay. That's the first thing. But it's also chiasmus. It's a flip, you know, it's the opposites. In-N-Out Burger. And so people would be driving down the street and they go, "Okay, In-N-Out Burger? What the heck's that?" It got your attention. And then what happens is people would check it out. They check it out and they go, "Oh, wow, this is really great." Okay. There's a guy, Paul, I forget what his last name is, but I do describe him in my book, Paul Tran. And he invented an electric razor for man's private areas. I don't want to get too much into it, but okay, man's private areas. And he wanted to come up with a name that would catch attention. A metaphor or analogy is one of the brain glue tools. And so he was thinking, what can I come up with? He said, "I know what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it the lawnmower." Okay, the lawnmower, an electric razor that shaves man's private areas. He changed the name of his company and he called it Manscaped. We're going to landscape a man with a lawnmower. And so, and his sales exploded. He went from zero to over $100 million in sales. Big companies are trying to buy him out. And he's going, now, I can make more money. You know, you have to offer me a lot more money than that. But the lawnmower, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't share it with a friend, but I'd share the story with a friend, say, man, you wouldn't believe what I bought, a lawnmower. No, you have to mow your lawn. No, no, no. It's to shave my private area. But what happened is it's powerful because he has a name that like goes, huh? You know, and I'll give you an example that you want to grab attention. When you understand the patterns, you can easily apply the pattern to yourself. I mean, I say for mine, brain glue, you want to, I have to remember these things because I'm like just losing my mind. Here we go. Okay. You want to switch your pitch if you want to get rich.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Brain glue lights the fire. You want to light the fire of desire in your buyer? I went to ChatGPT and I was asking for, I was showing it what I was doing. I was trying to get, you know, more examples. And it was, they had stupid examples, but they finally had one. They said, why brain glue? Because plain glue doesn't stick to the brain. You know?
Love it. Yeah, love it.
But it's just so when you start to recognize. So one last thing, okay, before you talk about this. So there's a stay-at-home mom who has 5 million fans, and she spends zero on advertising. 5 million fans? How does she get 5 million fans? How much of us spend a fortune on social media, and then we're lucky to get a few thousand, but she's got 5 million fans, and she spends zero because she's thinking, okay, so I want to start a Facebook page. And so let's see, I want to do it with maybe attracting mommies. So let's see, mommy needs time to herself. Mommy needs a rest. I know what mommy needs. Mommy needs vodka.
Right.
The page is mommy needs vodka. She has over 5 million fans and I'm one of her fans. How did I become a fan? So somebody shared, because out of 5 million fans, one of them must be a friend of mine, and they shared one of her posts. I saw the post and went, oh, that's really cool. From mommy needs vodka? I saw that and I went, what? So I clicked on the link to come back to her page and I saw other things that she had. I liked some of the posts she had. And I said, okay, I got to be a fan. Bam, I became a fan. And that's what we want to understand. With all this information that's being bombarded and thrown at our prospects, we need to stand out from the crowd somehow. If you don't stand out from the crowd, they're not even going to notice you. It's kind of like driving down the street. You drive down the street, you get out of your home, you drive down the street and you see all these other homes down the street or apartments, wherever you live. You're not going to look at it every day. And go, oh, look at that guy's house. Look at that guy's house. Look at her house. Look at it. You're not going to do that. You ignore it because you just drive down the same street every day. Until one day you're driving down the street and you see flames coming out of one of your neighbor's windows. And you go, what's that? Does he know it's on fire? It's not going to burn down my house. I mean, you know, I mean, it gets your attention. It triggers because there's a trigger inside our brain. That go for certain things, it triggers the brain. With our ads and our promotions and our social media, it's the same thing. People are used to seeing ad, article, and you want them to go, hey, huh? What's that? You know, flames coming out of your ad or your promotion or whatever else. And it could be something simple like mommy needs vodka. It could be the title. But if you can have something that grabs their attention, you have a much better chance of making a fortune. And I'm saying a fortune. We're people that make, you know, I love this one, okay? You know Richard Branson, right? Billionaire Richard Branson? What does Richard Branson have in common with olive oil?
Virgin, extra virgin, sort of virgin.
You got it. They both made a fortune off Virgin olive oil and Virgin Airways. He started with Virgin Records and all that stuff, okay? People think, wow, these guys are billionaires. He started with almost no money. He borrowed some money. He quit high school and he borrowed money from his dad so he could start a magazine. And then that evolved and he became an agent and all that stuff. But he recognized, you know, I don't have a lot of money and I want to grab people's attention. So he called it Virgin, back then Virgin Records. And Virgin Records? Like, what the heck? But it grabs your attention. It's a brain trigger. And so that's why we have a last thing on this, and I'll shut up for a while. But like the word dirty is a brain trigger. So we know famous movies, Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm old enough to remember the Dirty Dozen. It was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. So I was trying to get major magazines and newspapers in America to write about my book, okay, Brain Glue. And so one of the things I did was I sent them an email to the writers, so writers that work for the major magazines. And here's what my email said, okay? The dirty truth about an article you wrote.
Ah, brilliant.
Okay? Two of the guys, almost within 24 hours, I got responses saying, okay, I'm very interested. I got to see your book and you send me a copy. But yeah, I was like, the dirty truth about an article you wrote? If I said the truth about an article you wrote or a problem with an article you wrote, it wouldn't stand out as much as saying the dirty truth about an article you wrote, because it's a brain trigger. There's certain things like ugly, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, Sergio Leone did that. He did tons of movies. Can people remember the names of the other movies? You know, for a few dollars more, I can kind of remember them. But most people can't, because the good, the bad, and the ugly stands out. It's got brain glue, plus it's got a trigger word, ugly. You know, it's like, hey, you want to read my ugly article? It's like, what?
Yeah.
I don't want you to vomit, but have you seen this? Huh?
It's really interesting. Really interesting stuff. And I'm trying to figure out what is the common feature between all of these examples you're giving, because obviously some of them are the flip, like not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Some are rhyming, like if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. And some are almost...
Ditch your pitch if you want to get rich.
Exactly. Ditch your pitch if you want to get rich. And then some are kind of euphemistic, like in and out, or words like dirty, that sort of thing. So essentially, you know, to try and summarize what I'm getting from your book in a couple of sentences, this is almost... a system of naming words, coming up with slogans and mottos that will capture a huge amount of attention by using one, you know, two or three different, well, you said 14 brain triggers that are all.
All of them. This is the secret to it, okay? So what happens is, and people are reading this, they read the book and they have something they're publishing. Now, Jack Canfield is publishing more books and he's frustrated because there are many books that he could have used. He didn't realize that he actually used brain glue tools by calling his book Chicken Soup for the Soul. Okay. And he sold 500 million books. Can you imagine if you make a dollar a book, half of 50 cents a book? I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready. Okay. I mean, he sold 500 million books. Okay. But he didn't realize when people read the book, you know, you read through it and some of them will resonate with you. And so every one of them will resonate because you'll relate to it. But for what you're using it for, some will resonate and some will not. Okay. And that's, and it's usually what happens is people read through it and they say, hey, well, this is pretty cool. And they'll come up with a rhyme and it'll be fun. And then they'll go through it and they'll come up with chiasmus, like a flip. And I go, well, I kind of like the chiasmus more than the rhyme. And I think I'm going to use that one. So you're not going to sit and do all 14 of them. You know, what you're going to do is you go through it and it triggers your brain. You know, creativity, what it does is it triggers creativity in your brain and while giving you tools at the same time. And so people, you know, read the book and some people say, you know, the seventh one or the 12th one I used and suddenly my sales exploded. And some people will say I used two of them. They're like we have Rocky Road ice cream.
Yep.
So when you open it up, it doesn't have rocks inside it. Guess what? Okay. Hey, look, there's rocks in this. Yep. No. But Rocky Road Ice Cream uses three tools. Rocky Road Ice Cream was originally founded in America around the Great Depression. So the first, so it's bumpy like a Rocky Road because it's chocolate ice cream with nuts and marshmallows. So they call it Rocky Road. Okay. They actually stole the name from someone else. It's Dreyer's Ice Cream, but that's okay. So Rocky Road. So that's the first thing. It's bumpy like a Rocky Road. The second tool it uses is alliteration. Rocky Road, the repetition of sounds. When I started realizing that, I started realizing how many major brands that often started out at zero and became billion-dollar brands or multi-million-dollar brands use it. Coca-Cola, PayPal, TikTok. You know, if TikTok was called Chinese social media platform, you think it would be as successful as TikTok? Probably not.
TikTok started off being called Musical.ly.
Yes, exactly. And no one knew what TikTok it was. Yeah, exactly. And so it's easy to remember. But So Rocky Road Ice Cream used rocks. So the metaphor, because it's not really rocks, it used alliteration and repetition of sound. But it also used humor because the Great Depression was considered, they had a nickname for the Great Depression. It was a rocky road. We're all on a rocky road. So their concept was, we're all on a rocky road anyway. We might as well have rocky road ice cream. People would laugh while they were buying it. Okay. Yeah. And so what happens is when people go through this, because we struggle to come up with a name for our product, a name for our book, a name for our, you know, how we're going to promote ourselves. And when you start to see how other people promote themselves using these tools, it triggers in our mind ideas and we start writing them down. And then, you know, I can't tell you how many people are saying, I'm going through this the second time or the third time because I've got this new product I'm doing or this new book I'm doing. And I definitely want a hot title for it. And it's just, you know, because it shows you, here's the pattern, the brain pattern that other people use, and they became successful because of it. And when you hear the brain pattern, it's kind of fun because you go, oh, okay, I can relate to that. I mean, who thinks of, what lawyer ever thought of doing a rhyme in a murder trial, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing a rhyme. Okay, Jack and Jill went up the hill to hey, 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 hey. You know, I mean, lawyers don't do that. They're very professional and everything else. I have top attorneys in America, two of the top attorneys in America that I know, and one of them is in the top 10. I don't want to say his name because I don't want to get him in trouble. But one of the tools is getting somebody laughing. And he says, this is one of the secrets to me winning more cases than most other people. In fact, a lot of people who have cases they know they can't win will give it to me. And I won't win every case, but I'll win many of the cases. How do I win the case? I tell jokes and I make the judge laugh and I make the jury laugh. When they laugh, they suddenly want me to win subconsciously more than they want the other guy to win. Because I'm the funny guy, you know? And it's these little things that when you start to realize it, you go like, oh, this is persuasion. And persuasion is the backbone of how we interact. I had a mom who said, okay, you're good at brain glue. Can you help me with my 14-year-old son? I'm like, okay. You never know what people are going to throw at you. And she says, no, he's saying, Mommy, why do we have to follow so many rules in life? Okay. So I sat with her and I said, so rules. What rhymes with rules? Fools. Only fools don't follow rules. So that's a starting point. But let me come up with a metaphor too. So I brainstormed with the mom. And then we came up with one. Then I sat down with her and her son. And I said to her son, so you're asking your mom why we have to follow so many rules in life, right? And he said, yeah. I said, well, think about it. When you're thirsty, you could always drink out of the toilet. But why would you want to? Remember, only fools don't follow rules. He looks at me and he goes, oh, that makes sense. First, when do you get a 14-year-old to say that anything makes sense? You have kids. Wait till you find out, okay? Teenagers especially, they never say it. But this guy, he said it made sense. But did it really make sense or did I trigger the emotion centers of his brain? You know? And it's when you start to understand the patterns of this, it becomes fun because you start to realize. I mean, I read an article in, it applies everywhere. It's everywhere we go. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I read an article in Forbes magazine and it talked about this guy in Argentina who's fighting to become the president of Argentina and people are backing him because Argentina has been in trouble. And so it said, so normally he would say he's going to dramatically cut tax, the expenditures, the company that the government makes, the government expenditures. Okay. Instead, they said he's taking a hacksaw to government, what the government spends money on, which is more powerful to say he's dramatically going to cut the how much the government spends, or is it more powerful to say he's taking a hacksaw to what the government spends money on? I mean, it's like, what? And it grabs your attention.
Very visceral.
Yeah, exactly.
Very visceral. Yeah, I love it. And it does remind me of, to be honest, like in my limited knowledge of American politics, we're taking no sides here, the three presidential, you know, campaigns I remember the most, Yes We Can, Make America Great Again, Build Back Better, all of them very short, very simple. Build Back Better, it's got the alliteration in there. Yes We Can, very positive. I suppose just adding the word again to Make America Great Again.
Has two G's, again.
Yeah, I guess that again part and the alliteration there, that's got to be the part that changed it. Make America Great isn't very good. Again, I think that's a great slogan. No matter your thoughts on the matter, I think that's a brilliant slogan. Uh-huh. So, this is really fun. This is really fun to learn all this stuff. I suppose it's a, I suppose where do you start? You've got a product, you've got an idea. Where do you begin with trying to pour some brain glue onto your product or your service?
Oh, you get the book.
Okay.
Because the book starts with jokes. That's one of the things about brain glue that's really powerful is that most of the brain glue tools, because they affect the human emotion. That's why so many comedians love using brain glue type tools. Okay. In fact, I have a comedian who's using brain glue. He goes through different chapters and he's coming up with jokes for that. And he's actually doing really well. I have this guy who said, it's not meant for that, but he said, you know, I can pick up girls easier now because I'm telling them lines from brain glue and they're laughing like crazy. And when they laugh, they usually like you. You know, girls like guys that laugh. But I think when you, hopefully you buy the book, but even if you don't buy the book, if you go to Amazon see the table of contents, you'll see a lot of the tools. Now in the book, I actually give you some examples of things so that it triggers your mind. You go like, oh, I know that. Oh, that's interesting. And then it gives you a quick exercise. You can actually create one of those too. And I think that's, you know, that's what some of them, you're not going to apply every one of them. Like it's humor is one of them. Okay. You don't have to apply it to every single one of the things you're going to do. But as you go through it, you want to experiment a little bit. And why? Because Jack Canfield has sold 500 million books, you know? John Gray only sold 50 million. Sorry, you know? I mean, how many did you sell, guys? How many products did you sell? How many clients did you get? You know, why do you struggle so much? I saw this show. Anyway, I give you so many examples. It's lots of fun. But it's, GoBots, you know, the Transformers? Well, Transformers yep. was started, it was a original, the competitor was GoBots. And they came up with the name Transformers, which is much better. And then the GoBots slogan was Mighty Vehicles, you know, for a Transformer. Transformers slogan was Robots in Disguise. It was actually More Than Meets the Eye, Robots in Disguise. And today, GoBots doesn't exist, even though they started the whole market. But Transformers dominates. They did $4 billion this year in sales and $5 billion in movies. Okay, even though they weren't the first ones to come up with it. And so what happens is you want to describe, how do you describe, you could change the name of your product or service, but even if you don't change the name of your product or service, you want to trigger the brain when you give an explanation of what you do. When you do that, you know, people go like, oh, well, that makes sense. Because we're so bombarded with information that when somebody tells you, oh, I do this, you know, it's like, okay, it goes in one ear and out the other. You know, 5 minutes later, you forgot what they said. And the reason is because we're so overwhelmed with information that we, you know, we have to protect our brains so we end up not getting overwhelmed with it. And that's why for us, if it's important that we're trying to sell something, we want it to stick to the brain. You know, like I want flames coming out of that window, because if flames aren't coming out of the window, they're just going to drive past my ad or past me or anything I'm saying or a promotion or something like that. And they're never going to notice it, even if they can really, really benefit from it. And that's why, you know, if you can come up with a name or a description that wakes up the brain, then you have a much better chance of making a ton of money, not just a small amount of money, a ton. I can't tell you, I'm trying to get 100 millionaires. Okay. Now I've got like 30 people that said they became millionaires using brain glue tools, which is really exciting. And me. Okay. Which is kind of fun, but it's exciting because, you know, it's tough when you're in business. But wouldn't it be great if you had so much money you couldn't believe it, that, you know, you could apply it to, you know, spending money on advertising or more money, or you could just go on a vacation? I mean, wouldn't it be great if you can just have so much money coming in that and a lot of people have this. I was a coach and a consultant. When I passed seven figures and made over $1 million, I got scared because I was a coach and consultant. I was making so much money. Okay. I was making pretty good money, but I was making a lot more money selling products online because I started applying brain glue. And I remember I called my wife and I said, hey, Pam, American Express just charged our credit card $1,000. You know, and she says, well, turn it off. I said, oh, wait a second. We just made $5,000, $6,000. Hang on. I'm going to call you right back. When I called her back, I said, we made like $9,000 for the $1,000 we spent. You know, what does a wife say, right? Well, spend more. Okay. But it's just, but it was scary because I wasn't used to like, I'm making so much money. Is this legal? I mean, I know it was legal, but it just, it feels, you know, out of my comfort zone. Today it doesn't. Today it's like, I'm ready for more, you know? But all you guys out there and gals and like, and for you, Alex, for sure, you know, we want to make a lot of money. And if all you have to do is come up with one name for one thing that you're working on, and suddenly your sales can explode like crazy. It's just, it's fun. I mean, it's so much fun.
It does sound fun, and you make it sound very fun as well. It's really fun talking to you, and it's what I can tell. You know, I've got your Amazon page open right now. I'm buying this book for sure, and regular listeners of the podcast will know that I never read books or indeed buy books. But here we are. This one sounds amazing. The audio book, is that you reading it?
No, I don't want to torture people with my voice. Fantastic. Listen to the audio. Because you give a sample of it. Actually, listen to the story. I think you might laugh.
But, I know. Audiobooks, I'm all about them. My time to myself is kind of the gym, or when I'm exercising, that's when I can absorb these books. Yeah. And I feel like I'm going to be taking this concept and noticing it everywhere I go. Like the example that comes up right now, there's two competing chicken restaurants, chicken chains in Australia called Oporto and Ogalo. They're both Portuguese chicken burgers. Same thing. And the Oporto jingle is just got to go Oporto, and everyone goes to Oporto. You know, like same thing. I was talking to my brother-in-law the other day. We both still remember the Pizza Hut phone number from TV ads, 9481111, just from like 25 years ago because of that simple little hook that nailed everything, man. And I'm going to be seeing this stuff everywhere we go, but I've got to wrap it up there today. The book is Brain Glue by James I. Bond. We're going to put the links everywhere around this podcast, so wherever you're listening or watching, click above or below. It's on Amazon for some extraordinarily reasonable prices, and there's 141 five-star reviews on there as well. So, mate, you are someone who is absolutely walking the walk, talking the talk. And, yeah, it's been really, really great having you on today, mate.
Oh, thank you, Alex. And just one last thing.
Please.
We know that you don't have a fortune to spend on advertising. This is not about spending a fortune. This is meant for people who don't want to spend a fortune but still want to become successful. And so, yeah, thank you, Alex. This is lots of fun.
Bang for your buck. It does feel like that. And it feels like, you know, you get that idea. And much like Jack Canfield and John Gray, everything could change when you do this. And it's all, my head is just full of these examples. Can you hear my child go mental in the background? I've got a 3-year-old who's ready for bed. But thank you so much, James I. Bond. We got through the entire podcast without any 007 puns, and I'm very proud of myself for that one, because you must get sick of it. Everyone listening, we love you for that. I'll be back in a few days' time with another 2 episodes of Coaches to the Moon. Until then, thank you for listening. Much love and peace out. Hey guys, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for sticking around to the end. If you love our guests, then in the show notes of this episode, you can find their socials, you can follow them, you can learn more about all the free resources and programs they've got. I highly recommend you do it. Until then, thank you so much. I'll be back here next week with Coaches to the Moon. Have an amazing day. Peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.